This podcast is for informational purposes only and does not constitute legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. It is not intended to cause or induce breach of an existing agency agreement.
Hello?
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 This is the Vancouver Real Estate Podcast.
And welcome back to Vancouver Real Estate Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Scalina.
And I'm your other host, Matt Scalina.
And Matt, I should say host, but also realtors with Oakwind Realty in downtown Vancouver. So fired up for today. We've got Maxime Zentner. She is the Vice President of Product Development and Interior Design at Marcon.
Yeah, this is a great show and a little bit of a departure.
Would you say departure from what
we usually do? We're talking about how to create spaces that people enjoy being in without them knowing why they feel so good in it is basically was the way I left this conversation. Yeah, it's also referred to as interior design, I guess.
And I think some of our ignorance comes out in this show a little bit.
It definitely does.
Maxime probably felt like Max, let's call her Max.
Let's just call
her friendly now. Okay. But Max was basically saying like, it was like she was explaining interior design to two aliens.
Yeah.
Who had never been.
Like at one point she did say, I'm bringing you guys outside your comfort zone, which is usually not as apparent, I didn't think.
But here's the thing. It is a fantastic, fantastic episode. We talk about what makes good design. We talk about design philosophy. We talk about consistency in design, how to achieve your design goals. We talk about the purpose behind design, trends in the market right now. There's a really surprising trend.
Right.
That is exiting the building.
Yeah.
Maybe not exiting the building, but it's kind of on its way out.
Right.
And you're going to be surprised because you see it in every home.
That's right. Yeah. It's interesting to think the relationship. We also talk kind of the relationship between music and fashion and home design, which is really interesting. The other thing that strikes me about this conversation is similar to last week. Like her story is kind of a unique one. It's right. Always amazing how people kind of find themselves, you know, with big jobs at a big development company doing big things in Vancouver when, you know, like she said offline, like before she moved to Vancouver, she didn't even know what pre-construction was.
Right.
Which is kind of unbelievable that considering her role right now. So It's really kind of interesting the life story involved here as well.
She's also from the prairies. Good
she
people.
Is. Good
from
people.
Anyways, before we get to that, Matt, we have a headline for this week.
Absolutely, Adam. We have the MLA Newswire Weekly, a pre-sale update brought to you by the MLA Canada Advisory Team. And This headline is probably predictable. Bank of Canada cuts rate by 25 basis points.
Do you follow a realtor on Instagram? Because you probably already knew that.
You know what? But I like what Brad did here. It was like, you know what? Don't fluff it up. Just go straight for it.
Right for the jugular.
Bank of Canada cuts rate by 25 basis points. We've been talking about this for the last couple of years.
Yes.
And it's finally occurred. So after beginning the rate cycle in early 2022, the Bank of Canada has now had its first rate cut, decreasing interest rates by 25 basis points. On $100,000, Adam, that's about $15 less per month any new mortgage taker will expect to pay.
For $100,000.
Every $100,000. Yeah. So it's $15 less, more or less.
Yeah. And we knew this was coming. And
well,
I should say a broken clock is right twice as well. we figured there was a lot of naysayers on Twitter the night before, but I felt it. I felt this was the one.
I felt it in my gut. Yeah. I felt it and I'm very excited. So of course, you know, people taking out mortgages, there's $15. This also gives relief to homeowners who have seen significant increases to their mortgage payment over the last couple of years. MLA predicts that lower interest rates will bring renewed interest into the market as buyers hope to leverage their increased buying power and of course, bring people off the sidelines. But Adam, let's keep this in mind here. Expectations should be tempered because first of all, fixed rate mortgages don't move with the Bank of Canada. And also, you know, $15 on every $100,000,
It's a Starbucks mochaccino or
but on it, yeah. If you're thinking this is going to set the world on fire, you know, keep your expectations in line.
But it's a sentiment story, really.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Say more about that.
Well, no, I mean, this is the thing, right? I feel like a lot of people, it was like higher for longer, but this is a clear sign now that there's going to be movement on the rate. And I think a lot of people are going to start to think that, you know, interest rates are going now in the right direction. Usually that spurs activity in the market.
Well, and Tiff Macklem said as much, right? He said, this is the start of decreasing rates. They're not going down as fast as they went up, but we'll see how this goes. If you like this headline, Adam, subscribe to the MLA Newswire. This is a daily email roundup of the latest real estate news and market insights. Visit MLAcanada.com to subscribe now.
And Matt, this podcast is also sponsored by Scalina Real Estate, which is our real estate company. You can find all of our listings over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, where we have our featured listings, including this one, which is brand new. It's going to be launched on Monday.
This won't even be on the site till Monday.
Yeah, exactly. This is 3201 at 4720 Lougheed Highway, which of course is Concord Brentwood. I love Concord Brentwood. It's so nice.
Let's talk about Concord Brentwood a bit, man.
But let's just talk about the building. You got like the concierge, yoga studio, lounge, theater, study rooms, music room. There's like a baby grand piano. I played a tune.
I feel like
chopsticks.
But this is the thing. Like, this is an example. I remember, you know, somebody saying at one point, like, the thing about new construction, and this is basically brand new,
yeah,
is that it's setting new bars all the time. And I feel like Concord Brentwood is an example
this is
of that.
This is really next level. And eventually, when all the phases are complete, you have access to Super Club, which is pool, sports club, bowling alley. Like, really, really feels like you're staying in like a premier hotel, like best of the best kind of quality. So amazing. Heart of Brentwood. It's a one bed, one bath, 535 square feet. Sweeping views on the 32nd floor. You can imagine the views up there.
Well, you don't have to imagine, Adam. What you do is you go to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com and yes, check out the new Concord Brentwood one bed. But while you're there, hit sell with us and you can download the plan that has led to so many sales. It's called the Sold Plan.
Yeah, Sold Plan, which stands for Start on Launch Date. This is a step-by-step guide to get top dollar in the shortest amount of time. And really, it's really a guide to get your home ready for market. So if you want that, if you're in the industry or if you're someone thinking of selling this year, click. It's an instant download on our site. Just go to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com, sell with us. And Matt, without further ado, this is a really nice departure from some of the conversations we've had because I learned a lot. I learned so much that towards the end, I was feeling like I got to focus a little bit more on design.
I was going to say, I thought you were a specialist prior to this conversation. So that just goes to show.
Well, Max knows what she's doing. Everyone is going to have some serious takeaways from this conversation.
Enjoy.
This podcast is sponsored by Marcon, a local family-owned and managed real estate development and construction company that's been around for nearly four decades. Marcon is not only committed to high-quality construction, but it also is making a positive impact in the communities in which it builds, all across the Lower Mainland.
We want to highlight two incredible Marcon projects. Elmwood, a 38-story tower located at Burquitlam's most important intersection, Como Lake Avenue and Clark Road. This landmark tower will feature 335 condominiums, over 37,000 square feet of office and retail space, and almost 20,000 square feet of amenity space. Elmwood has been incredibly popular with 80% sold currently, but they still have a great selection of junior one-bedroom all the way to three-bedroom homes remaining. Check out marcon.ca/elmwood for more.
And Matt, we are also excited about Sohnhaus, Marcon's newest community in West Coquitlam, with 165 homes ranging from junior one-beds to three-beds. Sohnhaus offers the perfect West Coast aesthetic with a more nuanced Nordic-inspired design. Register today at marcon.ca/sohnhaus. That's Sohnhaus. Or you can learn more at marcon.ca or follow them at Instagram at Marcon Homes.
Marcon, building for life.
Okay, so we're here with Maxime Zentner, Vice President of Product Development and Interior Design at Marcon. How you doing, Max? I'm
doing awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
Yeah, no, thanks. Thanks for coming down to the studio. Maybe for our listeners, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, of course. So as you said, I oversee the department at Marcon Developments. I'm originally from Winnipeg, so I actually graduated university back there undergrad from architecture and worked at an architecture firm out there and then realized I started getting asked to do some interior work and fell in love with it and decided, well, you know, the West Coast seems pretty desirable. So decided to up and move out here and just started looking specifically for interior design jobs. Landed at another big developer. I was there for about 7+ years, working all down the West Coast on all kinds of developments, pre-sale, sales galleries, all that kind of stuff. And then moved to Marcon about 3.5 years ago now.
Wow.
Yeah. It's been pretty fun.
Yeah. Why design?
Yeah. So I love the idea of being able to create environments for people to have different experiences and feelings within. So I graduated from the architecture. Obviously, it's a large scale and very quickly realized I love the idea of being able to create a space where like people could feel joy or feel at peace or calm or feel that they want to gather, connect, or just realizing that people, you have the influence over how people can feel within a space. So I fell in love with that idea and how like materiality and lighting and just every single different element can come together to create those experiences. And so, yeah, I realized that was just such a passion and I want to follow that.
Is that like, this seems like almost silly and probably stupid, but I don't know much about it. But from your perspective, is like creating those feelings like eternal, or is it part of, are you aligning that with specific trends? Like how do you create an environment both for like a feeling that is something that is almost timeless, but also in a moment, a specific moment?
Yeah, I think that in terms of like the feeling that I want to create in different spaces, I think that those are more on the eternal level, you know, regardless of the exact aesthetic or whatever that you follow, creating a space that feels calm and that you want to sit down and relax with friends. Like that to me is an eternal feeling within that exact place and location within, you know, an environment. So I think that those are pretty eternal, or you're creating a space that's specifically not eternal where you want it to be changeable and always, you know, moving and specifically for that function. But then in that quality that I guess it's internal, eternal. But yeah, and then like to me, then the aesthetic component is something that you're layering on, which, you know, I definitely take a perspective that's more grounded in a timeless quality for design. But you definitely are layering in things that are more like of the moment, regardless of how timeless you want to be. There's always going to be a quality of like of the moment.
Mm-hmm. When I think of Winnipeg, I think of like a very bright place. And what a lot of people maybe don't think about in Winnipeg is you've got the snow, which gives off light. You've got really sunny days. You don't get a ton of rain in Winnipeg. So moving to Vancouver feels like a city where everybody's been trained to look for natural light only because we're under clouds for so many months a year. Like how has that kind of shaped your design principles, or has it?
Yeah, so as much as Winnipeg has all this bright light, Vancouver has the quality of being able to go interior and exterior spaces and have this connection between the outdoors and interior spaces. So we have the ability to, I mean, use materials that can withstand the outdoor environment. As much as rain is hard on materials, it's definitely, you can actually go outside and use those spaces and create covers and still be in that exterior space and feel like you have an extension of all these areas versus, you know, colder environments. That really becomes a space you absolutely cannot use. So
right.
We joked in Winnipeg that you kind of become like mole people.
Yeah.
You're always living on the interior and they have these like connected walkways between all the buildings downtown and underground versus Vancouver. You know, people say they don't like the rain and whatever, but you throw up an umbrella and you just go for a walk outside, or you're under an atrium or something, an overhang, and you get to experience all those outdoor environments. So it's interesting that way.
Maybe, you know, backing up, like a lot of people are probably like, okay, vice president of product development and interior design. You know, one thing that we know about is that Marcon is, you know, obviously a big player in like strata condo, multifamily units, rental, but also hotel. Like it's a big company that's growing quickly. Can you just talk about like a day in the life? Like what does this job look like? And it seems like it touches a lot of different spaces.
Yeah, totally. A day in a life is definitely jumping all over to all the various assets that we have on the go. So we in-house are overseeing everything from condo to rental, but that also is inclusive of course, like the pre-sale experience. So sales galleries, designing this, all the suite specs, you know, at least two suite specs per project. We have all our amenity spaces and experiences. We have, you know, we're dipping into hotel. Our sales galleries are now expanding into including some hospitality components because we really want to go all out and make these into community experience locations. So we're dipping into, you know, working with partners and vendors and hospitality side, which is a really interesting side to be in. But, you know, we're designing restaurants now.
Yeah.
And cafes. So it's really jumping all over between all these different projects that are at all different phases. You know, we have Taylor completing this past week. So we're jumping in to install that furnishing while we're also just launched Soho House. So that's at the very beginning of a project. And so we're just literally like, I'm doing a lot of project mapping to see exactly like where in the life cycle each project is, how it's aligning through time and how much time each of those deliverables requires. And then just mapping that out as that progresses through time. And then, you know, working with my team to ensure that each of those deliverables is exactly aligned with our Marcon aesthetic and the project vision. And then a lot of coordination with sales and marketing, because we really believe in tying our design really tightly, having it like woven together with the marketing component. I want the design to have elements of the branding and the typeface and the colors and the graphics. Like I want this all to be a really woven together story, which is achievable when you're in-house design, right? So we have a lot of collaboration meetings where we're weaving all those pieces together.
So I feel like I got a bunch of questions. one is, can you talk about the Marcon aesthetic? And when I bring this up, I'm just thinking like, is that something that is a work in progress? Was that established before you started? Is that like a thing that you can point to and go, this is the Marcon aesthetic? And how does that work in kind of the fluid nature of your work?
Yeah. So it was definitely not established before I came there. There's bits and pieces of it. I came and started the department, you know, about 3.5 years ago, and Marcon had various projects that we're in the market and completing soon and everything like that, that our in-house team, of course, did not execute the design on. And I took overseeing that over. And there was bits and pieces and elements, but, you know, being able to look at all the projects together holistically and look at, you know, the Palella family, their general aesthetic, looking at the way that our branding was evolving, chatting really in depth with Nick on the brands that we felt aligned with that kept coming up in all of our meetings, that we love the way that their approach to design and aesthetics and everything are, you know, Apple's a great one, Tesla, all these really innovative products that people are connecting with. They feel modern. There's like a cleanness, quality to them. So it really developed out of all these pieces together, creating, you know, a story together. So our aesthetic is really like, when I say we go for this timeless quality, like that's truly like the most like underlined principle within our design approach, in the way that, you know, you won't probably ever, I mean, I hope I don't come back and bite myself, but you probably won't ever see us come out with like a rose gold plumbing faucets. To me, that feels just very like trendy and of the moment. And as beautiful as it is, to me, that doesn't fall into our category of timelessness. So there's really, when we're selecting all these materials and visuals and everything that has to do with aesthetics, it really comes down to like, is this something that I could have seen executed 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and 10 years from now? And I'm still going to be like, yeah, I think that's a really great choice. It doesn't necessarily mean safe. I think that those two can be confused a little bit. It means, you know, the way an Eames chair timeless, beautiful quality, right? So it's that leaning in that direction and incorporating this tie to like an architectural element through, of course, that can be executed in so many different ways, but we often do that through little pops of kind of like an architectural color. You might see little colors actually brought in and mixed with our very timeless clean palette. So it's definitely something that I'd say we're working on. I know what the Marcon aesthetic is and I oversee the department to ensure that we are meeting that. But I'd say it's a work in progress getting those words down on exactly like how to describe that Marcon aesthetic. But we know it. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So,
but I guess like Tesla or Apple probably doesn't have like a written
statement. I'm sure they have a guide.
Oh yeah, they probably do.
They definitely have a guidebook.
I'm sure they don't have a,
they do. A new font every time.
Yeah. I'm sure they have a very tight guideline.
Okay.
I was wrong on that.
Scalina Real Estate does it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a work in progress over here.
What? So in your mind then, it sounds like timelessness kind of informs a lot of your choices. And but what makes good design and then maybe how do you marry kind of form and function or design and function, I guess I should say.
Yeah, I think that it's a funny question. I feel like people ask this. This is a question that's put out there often because I think people are trying to basically capture in words this element that is hard to put into words basically. So what makes good design to me is really, it's almost that it disappears around you. So you feel good and complete in the space, but there's nothing that's feeling distracting or taking your attention away or feeling that you can't focus or just relax in the space. So it's kind of a funny thing to say that like we do all this work just to make it so you almost don't notice the things around you, but for some reason you just feel good. Mm-hmm. It was kind of the way we were chatting about, you know, you entered this Soane House jewel box and it's kind of hard to put into words. You just feel at peace.
Good.
You just feel good. So that's really the goal, is that everything kind of melts away and you're like, I don't even know why. I just feel good in this space.
Yeah.
So that to me is what like good and successful design is. You know, we've all been in spaces where you're sitting there and maybe in a restaurant and like, why is this banquette bench behind me so annoying? Or like the music is too loud or I can't see what I'm trying to look at. Like all those little things to me is a product of not well-developed design because it's distracting you from like why you're there or what your purpose is within the space.
That makes a lot of sense. In thinking then about like trends and do trends tie into this at all? Like are you still monitoring or like, yeah, I guess so. You must.
Yeah, 100%.
Because buyers are, right?
Yeah, 100%, of course. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's not like we're not watching trends. Mm-hmm. Of course we're watching, you know, the same way that like certain textured stone right now, there's like a textured hone finished everybody's really into and it's beautiful. It feels soft. Like we're following trends definitely, but there are ways to like lean so far into those trends that it almost feels like isolating, or you know that like you can look at a 90s kitchen, you're like, that's a 90s kitchen.
Yeah, right.
So we're really trying to avoid that. I mean, at the end of the day, people are purchasing these homes. They're going to have to wait a few years till they get it. I've seen developments where by the time you turn over to a homeowner, you're like, oh, that feels a little out of date. And I just want to forever avoid that because that doesn't feel like a success in the end, right? If you're like, oh, that feels like we passed that already.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, like, especially with the concrete towers you guys are involved in, like it's kind of potentially seven, eight year process, right?
100%.
Like you definitely can't be like, oh man, that was a 6 month, whatever, however short some trend is. And then you're like, man, it's like brand new Passed product it. That looks
You get to like
dated.
Even those like the multi-tower
right.
developments where you design the spec at the front end and like maybe eventually plan on refreshing the spec, but like not always. And so you're like, well, these need to look really good for like quite a while. So you really want to make sure that you're standing behind that and feeling like nothing here is going to feel out of date.
Right.
And also not just, you know, is it going to pass in terms of trends? Like we also have, as much as we have target markets for each building and demographic and everything for each area, there inevitably is a large window of buyers that have all different age groups, you know, aesthetics that people want. So you also want it to be like not only timeless over a span of years, but also from, you know, the 17-year-old looking to hopefully buy their first condo to somebody who's that this might be their last home that they're going to live in. So you want it to literally all those people to be like, yeah, this looks really beautiful. I'm proud of this space. Really, that's what it comes down to, right? You want people to feel proud of that space.
Yeah, that's challenging, eh?
So I feel like there's a threading the needle component to like time, like literally till it's delivered. There's a time component. There's a demographic component that you're dealing with in the multi-generations that are potentially moving in. And then like one thing, and this is Soane House, and we didn't bring you on here to talk about Soane House, but we were just there. And like the outdoor space or the outdoor environment seems like the design took that into consideration, right? Like it has kind of a spa-like quality to it that seems like when I think of it now, just even the being at the display home, like it's like lush green exteriors that really add to that kind of, why do I feel so calm and good here? Like part of it is the natural environment, but I guess that's another component that you're presumably thinking about all the time.
All the layers.
Yeah.
And as much
we had a tough job.
Yeah. And as much as you're exactly like my scope is the interior, right? But the connection and viewpoint between those exterior environments is part of the interior experience.
Right.
So as much as, you know, our scope might be actually physically designing that interior space, we're in those meetings with the landscape. And often I'm doing a first take at a sketch. And then we work with our landscape architect of what that programming might look like on that exterior area that's just outside amenities or anything like that, because there is such a connection between like what you're seeing, what you're going to experience. Are you going to see like a dog maybe going to the washroom on their dog run right outside where I plan for somebody to eat on the inside, right? Yeah. If there isn't this connection and thoughtfulness between all these spaces, like you're going to get weird stuff that happens like that.
Right.
So yeah.
Like, this is, again, like, this is like two laymen talk to somebody who's really evolved in terms of design. But I'm just thinking about specifically when you're looking at a condo, like, I think a lot of emphasis when people do renovations goes into the kitchen. But like, what room, like, is there a room that you're like, you find you're devoting more attention to than
the kitchen? You're
is
right.
It the kitchen?
Yeah.
It's got to be the kitchen.
Especially in the way that modern homes lay out. I mean, we no longer have the days of kitchens being hidden behind a door. Everybody wants to be connected and kitchens are open with your living and dining and entertaining space. So ultimately, to me, that's where you're living your lives in those spaces. So yeah, your kitchen definitely takes
is the ensuite the second?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ish.
Ish.
I definitely feel like everybody wants to feel good in your ensuite for sure. A spa-like feeling, you know, nobody's going to be upset with that.
Right.
But it all depends on the square footage, the space that we have to work with. Often, a lot of the times in the way that a lot of condos right now are laying out that like predominantly a lot of your square footage is in those main living areas. So we want those to feel excellent. Yeah.
And what are you seeing in terms of trends? I mean, obviously we're moving into smaller spaces, right? And everywhere in the world. Like what kind of stuff that you're seeing, like trends that you're seeing and how and what developers are doing now to kind of work within or what Marcon's doing to work within these smaller spaces and things maybe you're excited about?
Yeah. So I think that a lot of developers have jumped on the same kind of trend right now of having, you know, gone are the days of having two schemes, for example, that are so different and highly contrasted.
This is somebody
the white
just said
scheme,
it's,
the dark scheme,
yeah,
you know?
It's light and lighter now.
Yeah, exactly. It's grayish and grayish. Yeah. Which, you know, I love. I actually think that really enlarges a space. It gives you like this peaceful quality. You are able to do often a seamless transition between your color palette of your furnishing and, you know, all the finishes in your home. And I feel like it creates a space that feels just really like fluid and connected. So I actually really love that. We have a project coming out soon that we've actually gone, you know, a little bold and done a dark kitchen coming out again, which we're excited about. We liked the idea of coming back and having this offer of contrast to people who actually maybe like that in the market and have kind of even lost the ability to choose that. Mm-hmm. But I think that that's an interesting way that things have shifted because they've realized, you know, everybody was really going to, most people were going to the light scheme when there was like a choice between the dark and the light. And so they've just kind of, everybody has realized like, oh, you know, if we land somewhere in the middle, I think that like, again, it'll balance out. A lot of people will be happy with that. So it's kind of interesting.
So Maxime, what are some of the emerging trends that you're seeing kind of early days? And what are some of the things that are already passé that maybe not everybody realizes?
So we are starting to see actually, I love oak. I have oak planned for a future rent of our house. But the lighter oak is actually slowly going away. And uh-oh. I know, I hate to say it, but I will always still love it if you're just looking at everything that currently, you know, what's like the trends are coming. Yeah. The slow return of, actually, you guys have it on your table right now. You guys, the slow return of a little bit of this like darker, warmer, darker grade undertone stained oak is coming back in. You'll start seeing that more and more and more, which I just like keep seeing. And I'm always like a little still surprised that I keep seeing this more and more. I think people are honestly looking for a little bit more and more warmth in their house. That is, I would say, some of the criticism of, you know, the really bright palettes is mm-hmm. that people were feeling that it was a bit cold. So I think it's, you know, trends often come as a balance of the way that people have been feeling in spaces. So I think that some of those darker wood tones are coming back.
So how many years do I have to sell my home?
That's
made out of white oak.
I'm not kidding that I have white oak spec'd in a reno that's coming up for my own home. So it's not, there are certain materials that I think are very timeless. A white oak is always going to be timeless. But if you're talking about trends and what's coming back in, that kind of feels like a surprise again. It's these darker wood tones are coming back.
Interesting.
Which is interesting.
And what is the, I don't know if you can answer this, but it kind of goes to Adam's question about how, what's the turnaround for when he has to dump his house? but like, what's like a typical cycle for a trend? Like, is it like a decade, 15 years? I don't know if anyone's ever put a timeline on it.
It's hard to say that. It's the same as like fashion trends, right?
Yeah.
Like I would say that design and fashion are super connected.
Right.
You start even seeing, you know, we had the return of like some of the 70s fashion stuff was coming back. Now we have like 90s. Like, think of what was in design at that time. All of that. So the oranges and all those like velvets were really hot and coming back when all that 70s stuff. Currently, we're coming back to the 90s. Oh, look, dark wood is coming back. Isn't that an interesting correlation?
Well, I might sleep through this next phase. The 90s are coming. I know the 90s fashion and music and everything.
Yeah.
The 90s aesthetic.
It's always going to be like a modern take, the same way that like fashion currently is a modern take on the 90s stuff. But
so no laminate countertops?
No.
Or?
Although laminate has come really far. But it's an interesting thing to always watch. I find fashion fascinating to watch because you'll see these trends ripple across all the different cultures that are influenced by these kind of music, interior design, like everything that is of the arts. You start seeing this like this ripple and flow of all these same trends rippling across in their own different variation.
Is it also regional at all? Like, do you notice like other cities in Canada and like, do you see the same design choices happening in say like Winnipeg versus in like say the condo market?
Winnipeg's kind of the middle. I'd say there's something there. It feels different on, there's a reason why they call it like West Coast modern, right? In Toronto, they have different palettes. I'm not as versed in the, you know, East Coast, but anytime I'm seeing designs and work that's coming out of that coast, it's very different. Like there's a reason why we specifically can call it West Coast modern because there's a very specific execution of design and open concept in a certain way that we embrace light and materiality and integrating like concrete and stone and certain materials that are very West Coast. So yeah, you will see it change throughout and then Europe and all these different places. So it's interesting because design will always be rooted in the location of that architecture of the building. So you can't help but like lean and honor sometimes the location and materiality of that location.
So Maxime, you know, you mentioned fashion. We've talked to people from the restaurant space that are now in the development community. It seems like you're pulling from all over the place. Like are there sort of key places you get your inspiration from?
Yeah. So it's kind of a funny thing. Maybe intuitively you'd think that I'd be going to see a lot of, you know, other lobbies and all these other things. I actually specifically don't do that. I want us to be thinking outside the box. And the best way for me to be pushing us is really to be leaning into pulling inspiration from hotels and retail stores and hospitality and all these different, you know, hotels and all these different areas that have different ways of executing design and are constantly, I think retail, I mean, I know that we spoke about it, but retail to me is a really interesting one. Like they are reinventing themselves every season, right? Mm-hmm. You walk by, my favorite thing to do, because we're right downtown, is do a little tour around Robson or wherever and just see how they're executing their window displays. It's so simple, but they're always taking like really inexpensive materiality. It's sometimes executed out of like paper or something like that. And they're creating these like beautiful, basically art installations within their merchandise and are just selling ultimately a product, which that's what we're creating, products, right? To put onto the market. And we want to create an experience that feels out of the box. And I find that those retail experiences like really do it an awesome job at creating these visuals that feel out of the box with, you know, I definitely stand by the idea that like, you don't need huge budgets to be executing good design. You just need to think about it and be able to get like really creative about it. So I think that a lot of the stores have really inspiring visuals that can kind of think about how to use materials and different executions well. And then, of course, hotels and restaurants are really creating spaces that always, if they're done successfully, bring people together really well, right? And ultimately, that's what we're doing in buildings, wanting to get, you know, create environments that people come together really fluidly and happily in a warm environment and all that. So I'm definitely taking a lot of nods and inspiration from those type of environments.
Hey, everyone. Pardon the interruption. We just want to take a quick minute to thank the following sponsors who make this show possible.
This podcast is sponsored by Common Ground Consulting.
Are you developing in the Lower Mainland? Common Ground Consulting is a development management and consulting company with experience in single family, townhouses, multifamily, and commercial developments.
What I love about Common Ground, Adam, is they manage the whole development process, from due diligence and feasibility reports for initial purchase of land to completing rezoning, development permits, and building permits.
They streamline the whole process with strong relationships with sub-consultants and municipalities and a deep understanding of all city requirements.
Common Ground Consulting. Feasibility and efficiency prioritized every step of the way.
Learn more at commonground-consulting.com or 604-807-6419.
We are also sponsored by Oakland Realty. This is our real estate brokerage, best brokerage in the city, hands down. If you are in the industry, a new agent, an aspiring agent, somebody just looking to make a change, new culture, new energy, new resources, head over to oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. That's oakland.com/join, type in VRP 2020. Not only do you get to meet Michael Morgan and the gang, the bigwigs over at Oakland, you get a huge incentive for first going to oakland.com/join, typing in VRP 2020.
I'm just thinking about this and it goes back to like the 90s trend, but like literally when it comes to style, like I remember when skinny jeans became a thing and it was like, I'll never wear those. And then like 5 years later, you're like, or maybe not five years, two years later, I embrace them.
About three months ago.
And then now.
Right, they're going out, right?
Yeah, exactly. I just caught the tail end of it. And now I'm having to move back towards
Wide Lake.
Yeah. But my point is that for a lot of buyers, like they're not on top of these trends. Like how do you think of, again, like I feel like I said threading the needle, but between buyer demand, like what a buyer wants and what you think they don't know they want, but they will want when you show it to them.
Yeah. Do you care what buyers want?
Like do buy?
Yeah.
It's in a lot of ways, it's backward looking, presumably. Yeah. Most buyers that walk in are like, they're not.
They're probably, yeah. Like a lot of them will want likely something.
Like I'm still looking at skinny jeans and it's like, okay,
it's
I'm not
on the cusp
let them
of
go.
Design.
Yeah.
You're like, do yourself a favor.
is there a feedback loop that you're getting from buyers?
Of course. Yeah. So that's one of the beauty of being in-house with our sales team in that, right? We get our, I'm part of the daily reports from sales. So I'm literally seeing like what the purchasers say, direct feedback from people that have visited, direct feedback from our sales team and the heads of sales. And then just like, we include our sales teams within our, sales gallery and project development meetings so that they're truly a part of the conversation as we're coming through developing each of those products to ensure, you know, what have people been saying? What did they not like about the last product? Like, we carry a lot of ideas across, again, because we like this, like, fluidity and Marcon aesthetic carried across the company, right? So there are a lot of elements that we're like, we really work through these details, let's apply them across multiple projects. But of course, if they don't get flagged, then we'll repeat them. And so we ensure that we have a really good communication with sales to ensure like we are getting that feedback.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, there's definitely, I mean, that is ultimately what my specialty and job is to create, you know, spaces and aesthetics that people might not necessarily understand why or what they were asking for, but when they enter it, they're like, yes, this is exactly what I was looking for. I mean, to go back to Soane House, so many people have been like, oh my gosh, I just finally feel like peaceful within a space. And maybe people didn't even realize that all the other spaces that had been going into felt just kind of a little bit chaotic and they were actually looking for something to feel calm again. Mm-hmm. So obviously we checked the box with that. And that's why it feels like notably different when you go into that space. So yeah.
I feel like calm at home should be driving all design choices.
Yeah, totally.
I'm just thinking about like common mistakes you might see in the market. Like, do you have anything that, is anything like really like a pet peeve maybe in the design world?
Yeah. Actually, that must be like a cross that you have to bear, honestly. Like,
well, because you're probably so, like, not only are you trained, but you're probably by nature sensitive to design, right? I mean,
and it's like anything, you like hone in a skill, right?
Yeah.
And then it's just like part of everything. Yeah. I mean, there are lots. Truthfully, my biggest pet peeves, I can't call them all out, but to me, it's a lot of like, I know we're talking about a lot of the broader aesthetics part, but to me, actually, the pet peeves actually, you know, dive into the execution of the details. I don't have as many pet peeves when it comes to like the actual materiality or anything like that. I think that there's so many different ways to execute a well-designed palette and set of materials together. But to me, it's the like connection of the way that the materials come together, the way that, you know, a backsplash comes perfectly aligned with, you know, your countertop and a gable, or the way the gable is thought about, how it layers to the countertop, like the depths. And there's just so many detailing that I think that that's actually the part that gets missed a lot. People might get the same materials in two different spaces, as we were kind of talking about before, you know, the idea of like light oak and white walls, right? You can execute that so many different ways, but it's the execution of like how those little details come together that really makes a space like good or not good. And to me, those are where my pet peeves I'm like, oh, you guys are so close. You could have just thought about how those little two materials were going to overlap and come together and you guys would have nailed it. So that's where really my pet peeves are.
So that actually, that's really interesting. So talking to people for years that have done renovations, we've done a lot of renovations. Often there's a miscommunication between your Pinterest board and what's delivered I'm thinking specifically about like when Marcon is building a project, like are you on site? Cause definitely like a lot of people in the construction world that are listening to this podcast, like they probably get annoyed by maybe designers a little bit and vice versa. Right. But it's that like getting it perfect and a lot of these people in the trades have learned to do it one way. So it's almost, there's got to be a lot of interaction, I would imagine.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I kind of think of like the in-house interior design for a developer as like, we're kind of this middle person, right? We're like pulling together some of the marketing and sales wants and what the branding is and everything, creating this design, obviously, but then working with construction to get it executed. And we are just as heavily tied to the front end, which is like the marketing and sales side, as we are to the execution side with construction. I am in contact with the construction sites and execution of that multiple times a day. We are texting, we are sending photographs of what a detail is. That is what I'd say, like one of the larger learning curves of actually changing from having out-of-house design consultants for Marcon to bringing vertically integrating interior design was the idea of having, you know, in-house interior design now connected with construction, that like we are one team working together as opposed to construction just receiving drawings and executing right. them. And you might have interior designer maybe one time to site or something like that, whatever was in their contract. We are like fully a part of every single element and detail of that build out, every shop drawing, every little question. There's always going to be a gap in the design and drawing sets where we're like sketching out, let's make that detail like that, or let's, this feels funny. It feels like it's actually being built out and feels kind of weird. Let's actually just like change that in the moment on site. So in saying that, like creating a good fluid, a working relationship with construction and in-house ID was something that was so important to me. The previous developer I was at, we had such a good relationship that I knew that that was something that was possible and that I wanted to carry over. Ultimately, like we're helping each other out. And I try to make them see that like, you guys are spending all this time building a site out. Let's all be proud of it at the end versus yeah. like, okay, got our occupancy. Let's just like leave site now. Let's build something that we're really proud of. And like, oh, didn't we agonize over that stupid detail for quite a while? But like, look how perfect it is.
Well, that seems like one of the most, like that, like there's so many advantages of having in-house design, but that seems like yeah. one of the biggest. But the other thing, like the through line between all the projects and design, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that a lot of development companies that are outsourcing, like it would be really hard to keep things consistent, yeah. I would imagine.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting because we have, I mean, we just, there's a new code in Vancouver that you can't have, you know, roller shades. They have the string.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now it has to be, you know, secured to the wall because just
yeah, with hazards. Those, like, hazards,
exactly.
Covers
so
on them.
There's all different plastic covers that are out. Honestly, they're all brand new because this is a brand new code change. So we executed one building with one cover. We're now going to review it and decide if we like it. And there's another option. So my point being is that if we were an out-of-house designer, we wouldn't be able to be like, okay, let's all go and analyze and see if we like this execution. And if we like it, great. If not, then we'll change for every other project we have coming down the pipeline to make sure like we are constantly able to lessons learned and apply to these future buildings or buildings that are literally in the midst of construction. We can quickly pivot and send out a new instruction to change that basically. So.
How many people on the team and like your team?
Yes.
Yeah. you were going to tell me before we went live.
But, I was like, but wait, yeah. we'll wait about it.
I want to be surprised.
Kept you on the edge of your seat waiting.
Yeah, exactly.
Including myself, we have four designers in the Vancouver office. And I say that specifically because I have one designer who is actually in Ireland.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she. I started working with her previously. Her and I just had such a good workflow. And she moved back during COVID. And I'm just like, let's continue working because she does a lot of our technical work. And it's kind of great because she's working over other hours when we're not working. And then we return to work being completed.
Oh, so, right.
Guys, we're working 24/7 over there.
Good hack.
Yeah.
Right on.
I guess like I'm trying to think of the way that I frame this question, but how does it, so you're doing the strata rental across the board, like what are the different considerations? Like presumably, you know, you see kind of investment grade product downtown from 15, 20 years ago and it's like, okay, this was clearly built with investors in mind. For the rental product, like does that factor in, like, you know, like that, say that attention to detail, like,
yeah,
does that, 100%. Is it the same for a rental project? What about for hotels or whatever else you're doing? Cause it's like totally different worlds.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's kind of at the end of the day, like what the benefit of us becoming in-house, just working simply for Marcon was that we were able to carry that attention to detail and the same level of quality across all those products and all those asset groups. So the rental is definitely like our goal and what we're executing is to not be creating buildings that feel any less well executed than our condo buildings. To us, they're on the same level. We have people that, you know, our market is pricey.
Mm-hmm.
Living in a rental building, for some people, that's going to be their life. Like that's what they're doing. And we don't want people to feel like you get a downgrade because our market is, because you're in a rental, right? Like it doesn't make sense. So we want people to feel just as much pride coming home into their rental building as they are into their condo building. So it's the same execution. We literally have carried over certain specs that are the same. We definitely have our only, you know, slight pivot is the idea of like a little bit further durability, you know, just because you will have more probably turnover than mm-hmm. a condo. But other than that, like our materiality is the exact same, which is, I think, pretty cool and definitely something that we're excited for in terms of our amenity spaces. We have the same attention, if not even more, because it is a Marcon-owned property mm-hmm. at the end mm-hmm. of the day that we're going to retain. So we actually can dive even deeper and like layer more items into those amenity spaces.
Are the rental buildings going, are they branded? Like I actually don't
Mera.
Know much. Okay.
Yeah. So we have our rental brand that has come out called Mera for Marcon.
And very cool.
Yeah. Yeah. We're excited about it. We have our first building completing soon. Dogwood. Yeah.
Right on. So you just finished Soane House, and maybe as a final question, of course you have to do the build out there, but there's a lot going on with Marcon currently. Like what are you currently working on? What are you excited about?
So we currently, I mean, as much as we say Soane House just launched, at the same time we're designing the entire common areas and the entire rest of the building, right?
Okay.
Which
yeah.
came in tandem at the same time as the sales gallery. And that's how we could speak to all those amenities and what the building
right.
looks like, right? So we are furthering just like finishing our drawing sets for all of that right now. And that's why we have confidence in like, yes, what we're showing you guys is exactly what we're building and designing because we have designed it. And yeah, we have other, you know, a multi-tower site in Coquitlam area.
Right.
In, you know, just sorry. And we have a couple more rental buildings coming up.
There's a lot. It strikes me as...
And there's way more. I have an entire list of, I think it's like 14.
Oh my like, God. We have a team... I was thinking the team might be larger than... four or five people.
I'm a proficient scheduler.
You know, Maxime, just as a final question, and this is probably broad and we should have started with this, but what's like the coolest part of the work? Because like one thing I'm thinking of is like you're building a portfolio of work that you can actually kind of drive around Metro Vancouver and see and point to. It's quite a legacy in a lot of ways, but what's the coolest part of your job at Marcon?
Yeah, so I agree. I mean, I think that's pretty cool, but I don't know why that doesn't actually
do it for me. Yeah,
I kind of laugh because I'll drive around with a friend or something like that from out of town. I'm like, oh yeah, I worked on that and that. And then like, wow, that's a lot of things. But my favorite part that I think is so cool is, you know, we go from all the way from like conception, you know, random little images on a board of like the feeling we want to create to, you know, creating the actual design, to full drawing sets, to full overseeing the construction, to moving all the furniture in, to turning it over. So it's this huge lifelong, you know, process of this, each design. Every design has that process. So to me, the coolest part is walking back into a space after and seeing people enjoying a space, just living their lives.
Yeah.
Doing exactly what I had hoped that they would do. I think that is so cool. A great example of that is like our outpost in Port Moody, mm-hmm. the coffee shop. I think I designed that like the first month and a half that I had started at Marcon and, you know, did these little hanging wall tables that I thought, oh, maybe somebody can prop up with a little laptop and I'll have a little wall plug or like sconces and all these tiny little details throughout. But this is just me coming up with random design ideas that I think would feel cool if I want to sit down with a laptop. Walking back in there, seeing somebody sitting with their coffee or beer or whatever and just like sitting on their laptop at exactly the moment in that space that I had kind of hoped and visualized that somebody might want to enjoy it that way. Feels so cool. It feels like, oh, checkbox,
yeah.
like success.
That was us.
I was going to say, we have
we didn't have our laptop.
We did not have our laptop.
Outdoor,
yeah. Whether you have a laptop or not, but yeah. To me, that's like so cool and rewarding.
Yeah.
More, it's a very cool space. We've had more than enjoyed a beverage or two there.
Great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Max, we have this segment called the Five Wire, five lighthearted questions to end every show. Can you stick around for that?
Of course.
Okay. Question number one is one book that you've read recently that you would recommend for our listeners.
So can I do two?
Yeah, sure.
So Unreasonable Hospitality by Will Guidera. Unreal book. Actually recommended by Chris Harburn.
Big fans of Chris.
Yeah, big fan of Chris. Fantastic book for anybody that wants to dive deeper into the idea of like creating a customer experience and what that means and how to push boundaries. So cool. Yeah, it was nice. An awesome read. And then the second one I just finished last week was The Culture Code, and I think it's really good. It was by Daniel Coyle. It is all about being a leader, basically, and how to really like connect with your team and being a successful leader. It's really cool.
The Culture Code.
Yeah, good. And they're both Audible because I, as much as I love reading, it's all when I'm driving.
So yeah. In the last few years, Maxime, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
I'd say probably 6 months ago, my husband and I made an adjustment to every night. You know, lives are busy. You end up just racing through your day and then sitting down and whatever, turning on TV or whatever you do. We have made a goal to every night sit at the dining table together, no devices, and sit and just have even the like 20 minutes that we're eating different meals or whatever that we have and actually ate dinner together. And that is really wonderful.
Nice one. What have you been binge watching lately, or a movie recommendation over dinner?
Yeah.
Yes. Not over dinner.
Not over dinner. So there's one called Dark Matter that's out right now. Have you guys seen that one? It's about like a multi-world theory.
Oh, no.
Really, really cool. And then Big Door Prize on Apple TV is awesome.
Really?
Big Door Prize.
Big Door Prize is awesome. It's just kind of like a modern day current world, but the idea of like something landed in the town that makes you rethink your life a little bit differently. Really interesting.
Oh, so not a game show.
No.
No.
Okay. I'm out.
No,
I thought this was Family Feud.
No,
I'm just kidding.
It's really good though.
Nice. Yeah.
Big Door Prize. Favorite band or music?
Well, guys, you found okay. one. Yeah. Found a Swiftie. Love Taylor Swift. She's an impressive woman.
There's been a couple.
You'd be surprised,
but I'm surprised by it. We've had guests in the past that you wouldn't think.
Is Daryl Simpson our last Swiftie? Who's our last? I think we've had a lot of Swifties on the show. So
yeah,
you're in good company. Last but not least,
I don't think it was Daryl Simpson. But anyway, we'll leave that one out there.
I'm just putting things into the universe.
Sparkle, everything. Glitter outfit going to the concert.
I think he calls himself a Swiftie, right? Is that what he called himself? Last question, something you have purchased for under $1,500 that has had a positive impact on your life in the last few years.
I signed myself up for tennis lessons, which I'm loving.
Wow. Really?
Yeah.
Did you play tennis before?
No, my brother was super into it. And just as I'm getting older, you guys, looking for those sports that you can kind of like take up and learn and basically continue.
Are you, forever. Where are you? North Van?
North Vancouver. Yeah, the North Vancouver Tennis Center or whatever.
Wow.
I love it.
Booking.
It's so difficult.
It's insane.
It's like signing your kid up for tennis or for swimming.
You got to sit there at 7 a.m.
refreshing till it comes open.
They ruined our tennis. We were aspiring to play a lot and it's just impossible.
I'm loving it. Yeah.
Lessons would be good because then you're locked in.
Yes. It's a good commitment.
Right on. Well, how can people find out more about what you're doing apart from going to Outpost, having a drink, and walking to the Zone House Gallery?
Yeah, I mean, the best way is going to be markon.ca to stay up to date with everything we're coming out with.
Amazing. Well, Max, thanks so much for taking the time today.
Thank you so much, guys. It's been a pleasure.
So there you have it, folks, our discussion with Vice President of Product Development and Interior Design over at Markon, Maxime Zentner.
Always a pleasure having people in the studio. Max was delightful. Spent a little bit of time here just getting to know her. She's calming. Like what she's designing. I felt like...
I didn't even put that together.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Yeah, she's got a calming energy.
You know what? Somebody said she's a good conversationalist, and I have to agree. It was very good, very enlightening, and a great conversation. So.
And a good five wire. fantastic five wires.
Right.
Some great takeaways.
You know what I find about Marcon too? And this is just an observation. I don't know if we've ever said this before, is they're a very fast growing company and they've been able to acquire, you're kind of like everybody you liked at many different places
are there
somehow end up at Marcon. It's like very good at acquiring talent is what they're good at.
It feels like they're the Edmonton Oilers right now, and they're doing a good job. They've got a lot of talent.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me just quickly, I just wanted to highlight this because I'm actually really enjoying this. I took Max's recommendation and downloaded Unreasonable Hospitality by Will Guidara.
Oh yeah,
man, it is really, really great. I'm like a couple chapters in.
Now, is that about the hotel industry?
No, it's about they number one. They built the number one restaurant in the world, but they did it through something that was a little bit different from other people that kind of changed culinary arts. They did it through Unreasonable Hospitality.
Oh well, you know what is interesting? Go back to the Chris Harbin episode.
Well, I think this recommendation came from
Chris. She said it did, but when he was on the show, he recommended a book about the Four Seasons Hotel, I believe it was the Four Seasons.
Well, they talk about the Four Seasons Hotel here.
Okay, but it's interesting book. How, and I, you know, I don't want to, but how Marcon is thinking about Tesla, Apple, hospitality in terms of the way they're thinking about providing service.
If you go to Outpost, which Max designed, and you have a coffee or
this is important
a pint
movie.
Of beer or whatever. And then you go into their display center and you sit down with like Renee or
Jory
or whoever's
there.
Yeah. Whoever's there. It's a pretty good experience. I mean, it's like when you think about it, I mean, I don't know. Every time I go there, I overstay. And why do I overstay? It's mostly the beer on tap. But it's no, I'm just kidding. I'm usually like, drinking
every
coffee.
Every time I go there, I have to Uber home.
Yeah.
And why do I have to do that?
Yeah. I have to call my mom for a ride. But here's the thing. I think it's a very awesome space where you want to spend time.
Yeah.
And I we didn't end up going, but I was going to try and go there just on like a Sunday just to stay at Outpost just because I really like
Outpost. Just go and hang out, maybe have a
muffin
or something
as well.
Like
it's
that.
Even in a good spot. So anyways, Unreasonable Hospitality over there. definitely worth checking out. And so great having Max on the program. What do we have? Before we cut for the day,
we have VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. This is our website where all things real estate related live. Head over to VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com for things like the Live Wire. This is the weekly mailer with the back catalog, a deal of the month, stats, different types of stats, neighborhood sales ratios, stats you're not going to see anywhere else. We have VIP pre-sale access on there as well. And of course, we have private client services.
Yeah, Matt. And if you're not using PCS, you are standing still while the rest of us power walk by. You got sold prices, days on market. You basically get realtor-level information for free. It's available at your fingertips over at VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com. We have had a lot of people sign up for PCS lately. I love watching the user experience.
Yeah.
PCS, for people that haven't been on it, when they start to get the updates or when they can actually map out what's going on in their neighborhood.
You know, sometimes the tears of joy.
Right. Yeah. But honestly though, it's the feedback is always incredible. And I don't think, I mean, there's some really great sites out there, obviously, that people are on, but I think the user experience of having your own portal and getting the sold prices and stuff in real time, it's pretty special.
It is, absolutely. And what else do we have? I think that's it.
Yeah, Matt, how can people get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me at any time, 778-847-2854 or matt@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Or you can try me at 778-866-4574 or adam@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
We also have that Kokomo line, info@VancouverRealEstatePodcast.com.
Well, have a great week and another great episode coming next week, next Thursday. Can't wait.
Take care.
2000 Faces for Radio.
Subscribe today.